Our study today takes us into chapter 6 of the Gospel according to Matthew, still dealing with that section of the Gospel commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. Now in chapter 6, the Lord Jesus is going to bring before us in this sermon some very interesting truths that strike at the very vitals of life. Now we're going to read, first of all, the opening verses of this chapter, verses 1 through 4. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now, if I may draw attention, first of all, to that opening verse, the word their alms is really referring to righteous acts. Take heed that you do not your righteous acts before men. Now, when you come to verse 2, he narrows it down to almsgiving. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be seen in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these four verses. Now, I might mention right here that the first three things that the Lord is going to deal with in this chapter, and we shall examine, is this. He teaches, first of all, truth regarding the righteous act of giving. Then he'll deal with verses 5 through 15, with the righteous act of praying, and then the righteous act of fasting, verses 16 through 18. Now you will agree with me that these three things touch, as I have indicated, at the very vitals of life, and especially at the vital things of Christian living, such as giving, praying, fasting. Now, in these days in which we live, it seems to me there is a great need for some intelligent investigation, some real intelligent thinking about this matter of giving. Now, we may question, of course, what it is we give, but I think it's better if we simply think today in terms of money, because that's the easiest thing to think about. And here the Lord is dealing with these important things, these vital things, and he comes up, first of all, with the righteous act of giving. It would seem from the reading of these verses that men with wrong motives and wrong methods are condemned. But correct motives and correct methods are commended. So therefore, in the righteous act of giving, we are brought face to face with the fact that there are wrong methods and wrong motives. Now, today, we're living in an age when a great number of gimmicks are being used in order to raise money, not only in religious spheres, but also in political spheres. I'm sure of this, that many of my listeners today are in the same position as myself. You are inundated with letters where people are appealing to you to send them money. Now, there is one time when we've got to pay out money, and perhaps we think we're paying too much, And yet, according to the scriptures, we've got to pay it. That is, our taxes. Now, if you think of the paying of your taxes, that takes you away back into the Old Testament. It was something that was practiced then, and people had to pay their taxes. Likewise, when the Lord Jesus was here on earth, people had to pay taxes. For example, now, even living in Jerusalem, the people who were Orthodox Jews had to pay temple tax. Now, that temple tax was used in order to maintain the religious life of the Jews regarding the temple and the worship of the temple. But you will remember they also had to pay their civil taxes. Do you remember the occasion when they came to the Lord and they said, "Is it right to pay tribute to Caesar?" And he said, "Show me the coin." And they showed him the coin, and he said, "Now, whose inscription is this on the coin?" They said, "That's Caesar's." "Well," he said, "you render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but render to God the things that are God's." And so these people had to pay what was the due to the civil government. And they also had to pay their taxes, known as the temple tax. So taxes were paid. You will also remember the time when Peter was trapped into saying that his Lord paid taxes, and then the Lord told him where to go and find the money and pay for both of them. And so the taxes were paid. Now, when you enter further into the New Testament, you'll discover this, that the teaching of the New Testament to Christians is this, that we are to pay our taxes to those to whom they are due. A government, then, has got to be paid. These are things that we must pay. Back in the Old Testament, the tithes were paid in order to run the country, so to speak, or run the nation. Here, we pay those things that are bound upon us, these taxes, in order to have government. Now, you may argue as to whether the men in power are spending your money correctly or not. You may argue with them, you may have your own ideas, but my point is that that is their responsibility. Our responsibility is that the law says we've got to pay them, and we've got to pay them. And so, therefore, the Christian, in maintaining a good testimony, has got to be honorable, and he's got to pay his taxes. But now, I object strongly to receiving letters from political people and government clubs, etc., etc., almost coercing you to send money in order to support them. Now, I am not bound to do it. If I do it, I do it of my own free will. I object to people who want others to support their ideas. And yet, we are being inundated today with letters from political groups as well as religious groups. But let me say this. If the motives are wrong, and if the methods are wrong when it comes to political groups, or how much more grievous is it when the same things are practiced by religious groups? Now, there must be pure motives in religious things. The Lord here condemns religious acting if it's done simply to be seen by men. These things are unworthy and unbecoming for the true citizens of the kingdom. Yet, at the present time when it comes to giving, people are so harassed. Do you realize there are certain people today in this country who have devised ideas and means that they sell their ideas, and they tell you how you can raise money, or they'll take in hand with your project, and they'll tell you how to send out the letters, how to get the responses, and what is the common measure of response. They'll tell you the percentage of responses they get to so many letters sent out, and what the average donation is. So not only are we inundated with written letters and appeals for all sorts of things, remember this, some of them may be genuine, although you may not like their method, the thing they're doing may be all right, the thing they're trying to do, but the method they adopt is not right. On the other hand, you are being harassed on television screens and also on radio programs. And people are using not only wrong motives, but wrong methods in order to coerce people to part with their money and to give to their particular project. Now, might I state here and now that people have got to be intelligent with regards to these things. You've got to think this thing through, and you've got to ask yourself, now, what would God have me to do? Now, I know some people use that expression, and they tell you to ask the Lord what He would have you to do, but they're telling you what to do. And the idea of asking the Lord seems to be all out of order with what they've already told you. Now, here when we turn to the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ condemns certain methods and certain motives. He says, when thou doest thine alms, when you're going to give, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets. Now get the idea. Here are men with wrong motives and wrong methods, and the Lord condemns it. The motive is this. They do it to be seen of men. They do it in order to have the glory for themselves, that men will praise them. That, he says, is the wrong motive. And then he said the method by which they do it. They sound a trumpet before them in the synagogue and in the street. Get the picture. Here's a man who's going to give something and is going along to the synagogue. He knows that the receptacle will be there for the receiving of his gift. But in order to have the praise of men, he sounds a trumpet. Or he gets someone else to go before him and blow the trumpet. When the trumpet is blown, then people who stand around will realize that something is going to happen. And so they gather round. And after the blowing of the trumpet, the man puts his hand down into his money bag, takes out his offering, and throws his coins into this receptacle, which may be shaped also like a large brass trumpet. As he throws his money, these coins, into the trumpet-shaped receptacle, they'll make a great clanging sound as they go down into the box. And the greater noise he makes, then the people standing around will say, "Oh, see how much he has given." He blew the trumpet. He let everybody know what he was doing. Now watch that same man as he goes out onto the street. He's walking down a little narrow street. He sees a few beggars there who are in need. But he doesn't give them something each as he's passing by. He goes to the intersection. And as he stands there at the crossroads, so to speak, in that little city, he watches those beggars, and then again he blows the trumpet, makes a sound. They realize that something's going to be given, and these beggars, some of them lame, some of them blind, they struggle and crawl, and they all get to the crossroads. And at that intersection they stand. And then he takes out his money, may not be very much, maybe a handful of coins, and the people have gathered round, and he throws the money on the street. And these beggars scramble for it where they hear the sound, and they try to pick up the coins. People standing around say, "Isn't he a generous man? You see how much he gave away to these poor beggars." Now the point is this, why did he do it? He sounded the trumpet. His motive was wrong. He wanted to get praise from men. And so because he wanted the praise of men, he made this great noise about it. And remember, he got his reward. He did it publicly. People praised him. His method was wrong. His motive was wrong. Now, if that was true concerning the hypocrites of that day, remember, it's just as true concerning us at the present time. If people are going to give in order to get their name in the paper and in order to be praised by the people, then of course their motive is wrong. They're doing it to have the praise of men. And their methods are wrong. Now he said, when ye give, don't be like that. When you're going to engage in the righteous act of giving, let not your left hand know what your right hand doeth. For the simple reason that if you're giving to God, God in high heaven knows exactly what you're giving. He sees it in secret, and he will reward thee openly. Now, a classic example of this was the day that the Lord sat in the temple. And those hypocrites were coming in and giving of their abundance, and people were watching them. But he sat over against the treasury, and there was an old widow came in, poor widow, she hadn't very much. In fact, all her possession at that time, with regards to money, two little coins called two mites. She took the two mites. She could just as well have put one of them in and kept the other, but she didn't. She took the two mites and cast them into the treasury. Nobody else paid any attention to her, but the Lord did. He saw it. He took note of it. And he said to the people standing around him, "You see that poor old widow? Do you know that she gave more than all the rest of these people put together?" You say, that's a strange way of reckoning. That was the Lord's way of reckoning. She gave her all. But you see, the whole thing was this. If her giving was motivated by love for the Lord, then she had the right motive. Also, she had the right method. She put it in quietly. No one knew but the Lord. And you see, in our righteous acts of giving, we must have the correct motives and the correct methods, and these are commended by God. Now, as I read some of the letters that are sent to me, and I listen to some of the things that are said on television and on radio, I realize there are men today who do not understand the scriptural methods. Because what they're telling their audience is not true. It doesn't fit in with the teaching of the Word of God. Let me draw now on two scriptural passages. First of all, away back in the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel were redeemed from the land of Egypt, the day came when God spoke to them through his servant Moses. And they were to be of a willing heart. And he tells them exactly what they could bring, but they were to bring it willingly. It was not forced upon them. They were not coerced. They were simply told that a tabernacle for worship was going to be built, and there were certain things would be required, and they could come willingly and give their sacrifices. Not only did you have willing givers, there would also be willing workers for the erecting or the building of that tabernacle. Do you realize that there came the day when they had to be told to stop giving? They had more than enough, and those that came late were unable to give. You see, the willing givers came, they gave what they could, and they had an abundance. more than enough, because they had the right motive and they came willingly. Now, when you come to the New Testament, the Apostle Paul wrote one day to the church at Corinth. Now, I suppose in the church at Corinth there was a lot of rich people as well as poor people. We learn that from reading through the epistle. Now, they must have had a little difficulty with regards to their offerings or their collections. But here is what Paul told them in sending a letter to them. He says, now concerning the collection for the saints. Now, if you go down through this passage, you'll realize this, that the Christians in Corinth were taking a collection in order to send some help to other Christians who were living in Jerusalem. And Paul is telling them this, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. And this is how they were to give, and this is how they were to collect. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. Now, get the thought here. How were they to give? They were to give systematically upon the first day of the week. They weren't going to give because they were being coerced. They weren't going to give because someone was going to stand up and make a great speech and tell how much they would need and what everyone was expected to give. Of course not. If their hearts were touched and they had the right motives, then they would have the right methods. They were to give upon the first day of the week, systematic giving for the things of the Lord. Now, if every Christian community today practiced this, and if every person in that community was motivated like this, there would be no difficulty. You wouldn't require to send children around the door selling candies or donuts in order to raise money for the church. I must say this, that I resent it very much when little children come to my door, where I know they've been sent there, and they're trying to sell me donuts or candies to raise money for their church. I usually tell them that I didn't realize that my God had got so poor that he had to sell candies and donuts to raise money. You see, my friend, we've got far away from scriptural principles, and we don't require to sell little gadgets or pieces of cloth and such like things to raise money. That is not God's method. If every Christian who knows the Lord was to give systematically, there would be no difficulty. And then we've to give proportionately, as God has prospered him. Now, some folk want to give at the beginning of the year. They call it a faith promise. And they promise God that they'll give so much, but they're expecting God to honor that and to prosper them throughout the year in order to enable them to give that. That is not God's method, my friend. It's as the Lord has prospered. How has God prospered you in the past? How has God prospered you this past week? How has he prospered you the past month? How has God prospered you? It's according as he has prospered you. And so it's to be proportionate. According to what God has given you, then you cut off your portion and give it to God. Because after all, what God has given you is his anyway. You're simply giving him back some of his own. And then, of course, giving is to be willing. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. We've to give willingly. If we're not giving willingly, then we've got the wrong motive. We may have the right method, but we must also have the right motive. And then it's to be intelligent. To whom should I give it? And for what purpose should I give it? Now, when you receive all those requests and these letters, you should sit down and summarize the whole thing and ask yourself, is this of God? Is this what God wants me to do? If not, then I'm not going to do it. So therefore, I've got to be exercised before God. The money He has given me, I will be held accountable for it. I'll be held accountable as to how I use it, how I give it, and so on. So therefore, the scriptural order of giving is this: according to the Lord, let us have the correct motive, let us have the correct method, and when we give, don't let our right hand know what our left hand doeth, and our Father that seeth in secret shall be prepared to reward you openly.